Deb Rossi is here to talk about her new book, The Raging Skillet, and give us her spin on her LGBT issues. Hi, Rossi.
Hi, Charlotte. Thank you for having me.
Tell us about your new book.
Well, it's my memoir about growing up with the world's craziest Jewish over-the-top mother, running away from home, getting sent to live with the Hasids in Crown Heights, Brooklyn in 1981, escaping, becoming a bartender in the East Village when all of my clients were shooting up heroin, and somehow becoming a chef in the 80s when women were not welcome in the kitchen, surviving a ton of misogyny to ultimately become New York City's wildest caterer and owner of the Raging Skillet. So it's a wild and wacky and wonderful ride with recipes kind of sprinkled throughout it, too. A lot of fun.
What was your inspiration for writing it?
Well, my whole life, whenever I would tell anyone about anything that was happening with me, when I was in school, I would tell my friends things my mother was doing, they would always laugh hysterically, and they would say, "You're making it up. It's not possible. It's too crazy." And then growing up and becoming a caterer and all of these experiences I've had, I just felt the world just had to know. They had to hear about it. So for a long time, for 11 or 12 years now, I've been hosting a radio show out of Cape Cod on WOMR and WFMR called Bite This. And on the radio show, I read a memoir about my bizarre life and follow it with recipes. So along the way, it sort of organically became a book. But I would say, in a lot of ways, I've been working on this book for 16 years. And my greatest inspiration for doing it was, well, first of all, it's always all about your mother. So yes, you know, I did it for my mother. But also, I feel like my book would really empower women, gay or straight, just to get out there and do anything that they're told a woman can't do. And so far, the people who've read it said pretty much that was what happened. So if it empowers women, I am thrilled.
What would you like to accomplish with your work?
What I'd like to accomplish with my writing is I'd like to make the world laugh, of course. I'd like to make people see how easy and fun and accessible cooking is. I think so many recipes out there are terrifying. The ones I put in my book are really just fun and easy and playful. I would love for women, especially young women coming up in the world now, to feel really empowered. If they want to be a chef, to be a chef. If they're gay, be gay. If they want to be a rock star, be a rock star. If there's someone telling them they can't do it just because they're not a man, I want them to just kick that door down. And, you know, if I could accomplish that with my writing, I would be a very happy girl.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
What I do, I think, is rein people in all sorts of places that might not normally be a gay-friendly environment. And then after they're sort of mesmerized by me, then it's too late by the time they find out I'm a lesbian. I've already sucked them in. So, yes, of course, I march in the gay pride parade and I hold my sign up loud and proud. Gay chefs do it with sauce and gay chefs sizzle. And yes, of course, I'd like to be behind GLAAD and all the wonderful organizations we have. But my favorite thing to do is to be in a place that would not normally be gay-friendly. As an example, being a wedding caterer for 26 years, going on 27 years, certainly up until very recently, that was not exactly a gay-friendly environment. But from day one, I opened my doors and I said to all the gay couples who wanted to get married way before it was legal, "Come here, you found home. Not only do you have a gay caterer, but you have an excellent gay caterer." And to all my straight couples, I'm always completely out with them. And if they have a problem having a gay caterer, they just have to go elsewhere. I'd rather not have their business. Usually the couples love me, but the parents are a little frightened. And through my writing, like just recently, I was at an event for the Jewish Book Festival in Denver. It wasn't exactly a gay environment. It was women who I would say were mostly over the age of 50 and 60 who were coming to support Brooks. And I was on a panel with another author who was talking a lot about her husband, and she made a comment that every woman has a right to be cherished by a man in this life. And I was sitting next to her going, no, no we don't. Maybe we want to be cherished by a woman. Or maybe we could just cherish ourselves. So it really is just in every walk of my life, I sort of feel that I'm flying the flag.
What would you like to see happen for LGBT equality in the next few years?
Well, I would love it if it was not even a question anymore. You know, like, of course we have the right for marriage equality. But I would like it to just be so normal. Like, you don't really say, oh, I'm gay, just like people don't really say, oh, I'm straight. Like, I would love it just to be just a part of the fabric of our lives. You're gay, you're straight, you're black, you're white. It's all so what? We're all equal, we're all happy, we're all loving. We all have the same rights. You know, here in New York, we're spoiled because I can walk down the street holding my girlfriend's hand and not have to worry. It wasn't always like that. There was a time, even in New York, when I literally, in Central Park, men throwing rocks at me and my girlfriend because we kissed. Nowadays, I see young couples, gay couples, happily holding hands, not even thinking about that. They don't have that trauma. And I would love it if no one had that trauma. Generation after generation of nobody knowing what it's like to be gay bashed. I'd love to go to Oklahoma and Arkansas. On my book tour, I'm going to all these places. I just got back from Denver, and I'll be going to St. Louis. I'd love to travel around the world and around this country and have it not be an issue. You know, we're all just people.
LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
I know very well what it's like to be bullied. I think a large part of who I am today comes from knowing what it's like to be terribly bullied for 2 years of my formative years, in the 7th and 8th grade to be exact. Kids have a way of smelling weakness and fear, and they taunted and they bullied me. I did not actually know that I was gay. And the amazing thing was that the other kids knew. Like later on when I've seen classmates or talked to them, they always say the same thing. We always knew you were gay. All I knew was that I was a tomboy. I didn't know I liked women. I didn't know I liked men. I didn't know anything. I did start to realize that I had to watch The Bionic Woman every Wednesday or I'd rather die. And later on, Linda Carter and Wonder Woman. But I survived that, and by the time I came into high school, I discovered that I loved women, and it was very empowering. My entire high school career was sort of like revenge against the bullies who had so terrorized me, but against bullies in general. If I would see them terrorizing other kids, and I didn't care if they were gay or straight. I only cared if they were weak and being bullied. I wanted to defend them. So I kind of considered myself a little bit of a superhero in high school. But in a lot of ways, I carry those scars of those 2 terrible years for the rest of my life. I still feel uncomfortable eating in a restaurant alone because I know what it's like to be in my grammar school cafeteria and have no one willing to sit with me. So I feel that those scars have made me a stronger person and a kinder person, but they were very hard to survive. So what I would say to those kids is just close your eyes and know that this will pass. If you can just get through this time, love yourself, be kind to yourself, just get through this time, in the end, you will be spectacular. Your pain will change you, I know, but if you can let it change you into a stronger, better, kinder, fabulous person, just a few years, just get through this little bit of time. But in the meanwhile, find someone to talk to. Find an adult. Find a friend. Find a support group. Go to itgetsbetter.org. Do whatever you have to do to survive. Just think of it as you're at war, but you can get through this.
How can people get information about your new book?
Well, we're on Amazon.com right now, and you can also go to my publisher, The Feminist Press, and you can also go to Barnes & Noble. I always have updates on my Facebook page, Chef Rossi NYC, that you could check on. And it's also on my RagingSkillet.com page. There will always be current information about the book and the book tours.
What other projects are you working on?
Two things I'm doing simultaneously. One is that I'm on a book tour for the Jewish Book Council, where I go to Jewish book festivals or Jewish book and art festivals around the country and do a great talk about my book. And then I also have my official book launches that start November 11th at Henrietta's in the West Village in New York. And then November 12th, I'm at Word in Jersey City. And then on the 17th, I'm at the Powerhouse Arena in Dumbo, Brooklyn. On the 19th, I go out to Trident in Boston for my big book launch in Boston. And November 22nd, I'm in Wellfleet at Preservation Hall. So a little bit all over the place. And then we have a Jewish Book Festival tour next year, and I have another book event in Brooklyn on December 3rd. So I think it's going to be a very busy fall.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
Oh, well, yes. I mean, my dream is that people would ask me, when is the movie coming out? We heard it's being filmed. I've always had it in my head that I think my book would make a great movie, and most people who've read it say the same thing. So movie directors and producers out there, call me.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
Yes, I do. Kind of came about organically. The first event I was at the Javits Center signing books, I found myself just writing "Food is love" inside the book. It was interesting because I hadn't thought about it in advance. It just sort of happened. It was like my hand did it, and then I later on looked and said, "Wow, what's my hand doing? It's got a mind of its own." But I've been saying it ever since because it's really true. I mean, food is love, or certainly it can be. I grew up that way. You know, you stubbed your toe, my mother would be like, "Have some schnitzel." You banged your head, my mother would be like, "Here's a matzo ball." And now as a wedding caterer, I get so many of my couples who always write to me after and say that they really felt love in the food. They say this to me a lot. And that's true, because we're really loving the food when we're cooking it. Like, the day I can't put love into my food would be the day I would stop cooking, for sure. Because food really is love, or it certainly should be.